Thank you for listening to the Beginner Institute podcast. Please join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beginner Institute, or you can join our email list at http://beginner.com and share these recordings with your family and friends.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ جعلنا البيت مثابة للناس وأمنا واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى وعهدنا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل أن طهرا بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We're looking at ayah number 125 in Surah Al-Baqarah. As you recall, we were talking about the conversation that Allah mentions between himself and Ibrahim alayhi salam, and how Ibrahim alayhi salam's first concern was his future generations. Allah now reminds us of something that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to do. And so the first thing he tells us is, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا, that when we made the house, meaning the Kaaba, the Qibla, مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا, a place for people to come back to constantly, and a place where people will find peace, a place that is meant to be peaceful and safe. Interestingly, there's a transition. The previous ayah, the last conversation we heard was, what about my children? And all of a sudden, Allah starts talking about the Qibla itself, the Kaaba itself, Allah's house. You know, some ulama comment, like for example, Al-Biqa'i rahimahullah, very concerned with how the ayat flow, meaning how a subject goes from one to the other, to the other, to the other. And he ponders over this relationship between Ibrahim alayhi salam's concern for the future and immediately Allah mentioning his house that is supposed to be a place of peace, and says that the preservation of future generations will have a lot to do with the house of Allah. It'll have a lot to do with the house of Allah. And of course it has to do with the Kaaba directly, but even by association, all of the houses of Allah that are built, including this one, are satellites of that house. They are extensions of that house of Allah, right? So what we're learning here actually is the critical nature of the role of the masjid in upbringing of our children. You know, in subtle terms, in between the lines, what's here is how important the masjid is in the raising of our children. Anyhow, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, we're just pondering over Ibrahim alayhi salam and his lineage, and he knows that we're the ones listening to these ayat, so that the amr is to all of us, وَاتَّخِذُوا, and all of you take, مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, you should make sure you make a musalla, a place of prayer, out of the station of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And you know about that in the Hajj and in the Umrah, the Masnoon prayer, or where to make prayer, right? So in that transition also there's a hint that Allah wants us, as we think about these things, about what we should be doing. Now that you know that Ibrahim alayhi salam built that house for his future generations, well, who's included among that dua? وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, who should be included among that? Us, those who took shahada. And so what should we do in honor of that legacy? وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. So here also we learn some of the deeper wisdom of Hajj. And interestingly, one of the trends in Surah Al-Baqarah is Allah drops a hint. He gives a hint. He points to something in a very subtle way. And then later on it comes in full circle. Like a seed, you barely see the seed, and later on it turns into a full plant, right? So the same thing happened, for example, with Bani Israel. Right now Allah is just talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Later on he's going to talk about how the other children of Ibrahim alayhi salam have now been chosen. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Right now, just a subtle hint about وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلًّا. And later on, in the same surah, just a few ayat later, the change of the Qibla itself. So the direction altogether will be changed. So hints are dropped first, and then the entire subject. It's almost as though we're being mentally prepared. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلًّا وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ. This is also important. And we took a promise from, Allah took this promise from who? Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what other name did you just hear? وَإِسْمَعِيلَ alayhi salam. The conversation began, it was just Ibrahim. It was only Ibrahim alayhi salam. إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. And he had asked in response, what about my kids? What about my children? And Allah said, wrongdoers, no guarantees. But Allah also, that in between the lines, is telling us not all of his kids are wrongdoers. I mean, think about at least who? Ismail alayhi salam. And interestingly, why mention Ismail? Especially because who can't stand the lineage of Ismail? Who's been listening to these ayat all along? Bani Israel have. They've been listening all along. So especially now, an honor to Ismail alayhi salam, and how when Ibrahim alayhi salam made that wonderful dua, the immediate acceptance of that dua was Ismail alayhi salam. The immediate application was on Ismail alayhi salam. So now, one of my teachers, who was interested also in comparative religion, told me that in the Torah, in the original Torah, or what is left of the Torah, in Hebrew, the building of the Kaaba is mentioned. But instead of calling it Bakka, they changed it to Sakka. And instead of Ismail, they changed it to Ishaq. So just move along. But they couldn't change too much of the spelling, apparently. So Sakka is still there instead of Bakka or Makkah. So they made these alterations. Anyhow, so Allah Azza wa Jalla commands Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, أَن طَهِّرَا بَيْتِيَا, that both of you should cleanse my house. Both father and son should cleanse my house. Again, if this is the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we're going to read later on in the same passage, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَمْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيهَ نَفْسَهُ. Who should turn away from the legacy of Ibrahim except someone who's fooling himself? So everything we learn about Ibrahim alayhi salam is like a legacy of his. And holding on to that legacy is a smart thing to do. When Allah commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to take care of his house, He didn't just command him. Who did He command with him? His son. What are we supposed to be doing with our sons? Don't just volunteer at the masjid. Volunteer with your son. Don't just come to jama'ah. Come with your son. Bring, our sons especially. It's an important thing that the fathers here realize how important it is to make service to Allah's house, participation at Allah's house, part of their son's life. And part of what they see as their father's contribution to them. People who bring their children to the masjid. I still remember when my dad used to bring me to the masjid. I still remember. Wallahi. And I still appreciate that. As one of the most beautiful, children forget many things. One of the things, wallahi, you won't forget is when your father used to bring you to the masjid. أَنْطَهِّرَا بَيْتِيَا, that you should both purify my house. لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَعِ السُّجُودِ. For الطائفين, people who make tawaf, you know what that is. وَالْعَاكِفِينَ, people who make i'tikaf. I think you know the term i'tikaf, right? So at the house of Allah, there will be people coming, obviously, for Hajj and Umrah, they'll make tawaf. Others will come yet for i'tikaf. وَالرُّكَعِ, rukka' is people who make what? Ruku' as-sujud. The last thing is people who make sajda. Now interestingly, وَالرُّكَعِ as-sujud, there's no wa in between. There's no and in between. And what's beautiful about that is, tawaf is a separate activity, i'tikaf is a separate activity, but ruku' and sujud are one activity. One activity how? The salah. So there's the wa is removed because it's one activity, really. It's together. Ruku', necessitates sujud. And so here in this ayah also, there's just on a side note, an appreciation of beauty and sequencing in the Quran. If you think of these acts of ibadah, ta'ifin, akifin, ruka'i, sujood, three acts of ibadah, you can think of it as tawaf, i'tikaf, and salat. If you think of those three things. At any given time, which of those three acts is happening in the most number? The most number. Who is the most number of people all over even the world, not just even limited to the Kaaba, are making sujood, actually. Sujood. Because sujood can happen in salah and even outside salah. And for every one ruku' there are at least two sujood. So sujood is happening the most. What's one less than that? Ruku'. What's one less than that? All over the world, including the haram. At least some people are making i'tikaf. And what's the least amount, and most specialized, unique ibadah that's particular to the house of Allah? Tawaf. So the act of ibadah that's the most specific to the Kaaba is mentioned first. Then the act that is happening at the Kaaba but happens elsewhere too. Then the act that's happening at the Kaaba but happens much more elsewhere, ruku', and finally sujood. So there's this sequence, it's a quantitative kind of sequence even. And in specialization, it's from khas to am, really. Very specific to the Kaaba to just more general and more general and more general. Anyhow, so وَرُكَّعِ السُّجُودِ وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ, we'll end with this ayah quickly inshallah. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ, and then when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, well, Ibrahim alayhi salam already said, he said, قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, He said before, what about my children? Now Ibrahim alayhi salam is speaking again. But now when he's speaking, it's after he's been commanded. He's been commanded to purify Allah's house. And obviously it's understood he's engaged in that activity. And as he's engaged in that activity, what does he say to Allah? رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا. My master, make this a peaceful city. Make this, meaning Mecca, a peaceful city. وَرْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And provide its children from all kinds of fruit. الثمرات. Two things he asked for. The one thing he asked for was peace, and the other thing he asked for was fruit. You can call it prosperity. Peace and prosperity. Even if you do a PhD in political science today, you'll find for a functioning society, they need two things. What two things do they need? You know, they need peace. Your money should be safe, your life should be safe, your home should be safe, your business should be safe, your savings should be safe. Safety is very important in a society. But if safety is all there is and there are no jobs, and there's no way to make money, then you're going to have chaos in society. That safety is no good. So you need peace and you need prosperity. Prosperity alone is not enough, and peace alone is not enough. He understands that complex concept, alayhi salam. And he's looking at this desert. At the time he's building this house, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. But he understands, if this is going to be a peaceful place, and this is going to be a sustained place, then two things are important ingredients in the sustainability of this place: peace and prosperity. SubhanAllah. You know, when we think, you know, when we think of the Prophets alayhi wasallam, we don't think of them as planners, city planners, administrators. We don't think of them as, you know, people that would think that in this far and wide and far-reaching sense. But this is the genius of Ibrahim alayhi wasallam. First, he thought about the future generations. Then he even thought about how they're going to live. In the political sense, in the economic sense, in the social sense. وَرْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Provide peace and prosperity essentially to those who believe in Allah and the last day. He put a condition, شرط. مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Well, why did he put this condition? Allah told him when he said, why don't you save all my children? What did Allah say to him? My promise is not guaranteed for who? For wrongdoers. So he knows some of my kids will be wrongdoers. And he also knows the wrongdoers are the ones who are a threat to peace and a threat to prosperity. So I would rather they starve. I would rather this peace and prosperity be only for who? Of my children, those who believe in Allah and the last day. Here's something else we understand of the genius of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is the concept of responsibility. He does not want to be responsible on judgment day for generation after generation of wrongdoers. And how do you know that generations won't survive? Well, if they don't have peace and prosperity, they won't survive. But he wants his believing children to enjoy generation after generation. So he says, only give these two things that guarantee sustainability to my believing generations. Now how does Allah respond? قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. He said, even the one who disbelieved, فَأُمَتِّعُهُ قَلِيلًا. I will let him enjoy and utilize a bit too. I'll give him some also. In other words, yes, I'll provide your believing children, but I'm not completely denying your disbelieving children either. Their generations will continue too. And of course, an example of disbelieving generations continuing is who? Among the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam, it's like the Quraysh. Disbelievers continuing, mushrikun continuing, even though they were wrongdoers. So their generations continued. فَأُمَتِّعُهُ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ أَطَرُهُ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ النَّارِ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ. Then I'll drag him to the fire of hell, and what a punishment of the fire, and what a horrible place that is. In other words, Allah told him very explicitly, don't think that the wrongdoers are just going to disappear. They're going to stay too among your children. And their place will be hell. So it's a very kind of stern answer. And you would think, after this stern answer, Ibrahim alayhi salam would say, I get the message, I should stop asking now. You know, when you hear an answer like that, you figure, okay, you know what, I'm not going to ask anymore. No. Ibrahim alayhi salam doesn't stop there. He keeps asking. And part of the genius of Ibrahim alayhi salam is, every time Allah says something, he modifies his prayer. So he says, okay, now Allah told me that's not going to work. So I need to work with that and adjust the dua I'm going to make, and come up with something that will work. So he keeps thinking about what more can I ask Allah, and how can I get my dua answered? But you will notice in every one of his duas, one thing is clear. One of the great legacies of Ibrahim alayhi salam we forget. You know what's clear in all of this? The primary concern is not himself. What's the primary concern? His future generations. Constantly, every one of his duas is something about the future. Every one of them. Peace and prosperity. Not for him. He doesn't even see a city there. He sees a desert there. Even the next dua that's coming, when he asks for a messenger, he himself is a messenger. Who's he asking a messenger for? Future generations. Future generations. And what's beautiful about this passage is, as soon as this passage is done, Allah starts talking about, you know, even Ya'qub alayhi salam as a father, also one concerned with future generations. That's just a continuous discussion in this part of Surah Al-Baqarah. It's a very, very beautiful thing. It's something that all fathers, you know, if you're looking for a course on fatherhood in the Quran, read this passage in Baqarah. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place in the Quran. Just in the 120s in Surah Al-Baqarah. Just read through it and you'll just appreciate a gem, just a treasure that's waiting for all of us. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us take guidance from this beautiful book, and may He give us the ability to implement the wisdom that was implemented by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and may Allah give the fathers of our community the ability to really be fathers as they should be. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.